Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 58. I am Jeff, joined always by Chris. That's me. Welcome, Chris. So now we're going back into kind of regular, just talking about movies. Doesn't have to be horror. So, floor is open. I've seen some movies this week.
That's good, because I haven't.
You've been busy with Halo?
Yeah, quite a bit of that.
Yeah, I played quite a bit too. Well, I guess we'll get to that on our other podcast.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about there. So,
This is what I've seen this week. I saw Steve Jobs, Entourage, and Going Clear, which I know you've seen. So we'll discuss that. But I don't know. Do you want to hear about either of the other ones first, or?
Yeah. Why don't you tell me about Steve Jobs as I'm sitting here playing on my iPhone.
Steve Jobs is, I don't like biopics, really. Like, I just generally don't like them. But, I don't know, something about, like, the commercials and the trailers for it sold me on it. Like, all the critics being like, this is one of the best movies ever.
I mean, it's by a director I happen to like, so there's that.
Yeah, I really like Danny Boyle. Like, I don't necessarily like all of his movies, but I think he's a good director. But I was more worried about, like, Aaron Sorkin. Like, people talk him up a lot, and
yeah,
I didn't really care for The Social Network that much, so I was like kind
it's
of
okay.
Expecting
I didn't hate it.
Well, I remember when it came out, it was, you know, definitely praised and kind of hyped up a bit, and it was well made, but it didn't really click for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into this kind of not expecting too much. Or maybe not expecting to like it as much as some people or whatever.
Okay.
Although no one's seen it except critics, apparently, because that movie is flopped.
Yeah, it didn't do particularly well.
And I don't know, like, I've seen people, like, blame that on, like, Steve Jobs fatigue, but there's only been, like, one other movie. Like, there was that Ashton Kutcher one.
Yeah, Jobs, right? I think that was what that one was called.
Now, that was only like a year or two ago, too, I think, so that might be part of the problem, but you got, I don't know who directed that one, but you got like a Oscar-winning director here. I think he's won Oscars.
Danny Boyle has, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Michael Fassbender, which is a huge step up from
Ashton Kutcher, yeah.
I still don't get that. But anyways, yeah, I went and saw it, and I'm actually really happy I did. It's a good movie. Really good movie, and what I like most about it is it's not like a typical biopic. It doesn't try to tell this guy's life from cradle to grave, you know?
Right.
It's an actual movie, you know? And not like, you know, following the typical like format that's a lot like a Behind the Music fucking special where it's just like, you know, hitting all the same beats that a lot of these biopicture movies do. This is, it basically feels like three scenes, and it's before three product launches. It's the Macintosh in 84.
Okay.
Some weird cube thing he came out with when he was not with Apple in, I want to say 88 or 89, like 4 years later or so. And then it fast forwards to like 1998 with him unveiling the iMac. And the whole movie is kind of like behind the scenes, him getting ready before each of these like launch events.
Okay.
I don't know if they're launch events or if they're like, you know, kind of like demoing the product that you're gonna get soon or whatever. I don't know what you'd call that, like an E3 type thing, like.
Right. Right.
And so that's like the whole movie.
So
like
I guess what the equivalent would be like, you know, the iPhone announcements that they have now.
Yeah, same idea. It's like, here's our new product, here's the features, whatever, get excited. And so that's the whole movie. It's behind the scenes at these three launch events, and it doesn't like, you know, it doesn't even like mention that he died. It makes no mention of the iPod or anything like that happened after the iMac was, you know, introduced. It just picks three kind of pivotal moments in his life and kind of shows you behind the scenes before each of them. And it kind of feels like each of these three events, like the way it's filmed kind of feels like in real time. Like, you're not missing any beats. It's like following him around kind of the whole time, like as he's yelling at his assistant and fighting with people and stuff like that. And it manages to tell a story throughout those three scenes, essentially. You know, kind of about what kind of person he is. It's a character study, and I don't know how true it is to the actual guy, because he's not really in a favorable light. He's pretty much an asshole.
I mean, yeah, I've heard that about it as well. And it, depending upon who you talk to, he may have been an asshole.
And you know, I'm not an expert on Apple or Steve Jobs, and so I don't know how much of any of this is true or not. I've had Brian yelling at me that it's all bullshit. I don't really care, though. I don't watch a movie. I don't take it as a documentary. You know what I mean? Like, all I really care about is if it's an entertaining movie, and it's really good. Like, it's a good character study of him, but all of the supporting characters kind of get their moment too and their own little arc in it as well.
Okay.
And beyond, you know, just the story about it, you know, him and, you know, his relationships, there's also kind of, you know, kind of touches on how technology has changed in the last 30 years or so. Kind of incidentally, it's not really about that, but, you know, there's a little bit of that in there where it's like, you know, kind of near the end of the movie, he's like telling his daughter, like, hey, you know, one day I'm going to put, you know, songs in your pocket, like 1,000 songs in your pocket. I'm sick of you walking around with that Walkman or whatever, you know. Like, it kind of, like, you know, there's in the 80s, like, nobody really had their own personal computer, and it's kind of cool to see, like, you know, in the first third of the movie, like, people like going like, what are people gonna do with these and stuff, you know? And he's like, they're gonna play with them, you know. So all of that stuff is interesting, and like I said, like, the character stuff I think works really well. I would say, like, the main story that kind of goes through it is about how he has a child with this lady he's not married to, and he doesn't really want to acknowledge that it's his child, and he's, you know, very distant to his daughter throughout the movie. And it's kind of a, you know, him coming to the realization after she's pretty much an adult that, you know, he kind of blew it with her, and he's kind of an asshole.
Right.
And then there's other things too. Like, there's Seth Rogen plays, like, his, like, co-founder kind of the company.
Yeah, Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, like, there's flashbacks of them. There's, like, a flashback or two in it. There's a flashback of them, like, working in the garage, like, coming up with the Apple II and stuff like that. And, you know, and there's, like, the relationship between them two where he kind of, like, they have different visions for the company, and, you know, Wozniak kind of feels like Steve Jobs doesn't give him recognition, doesn't give the Apple II recognition and all this stuff. You know, there's a relationship between him and the original CEO of the company, who was played by Jeff Daniels. And they all kind of play out over the course of, you know, 15 years or so in these essentially three scenes. So I really like the Sorkin's approach to the screenplay. And everyone does a great job in it. Like, everyone's good in it. Kate Winslet, Seth Rogen, like I said, everyone kind of gets their moment in it, and Fassbender's really, really good. So yeah, I really liked it. I mean, I'm not like head over heels about it, but, you know, for a biopicture, like, I thought it was really good, and I think it's a step up from The Social Network, honestly. But I wasn't a huge fan of The Social Network.
Right.
I'd probably go 4 out of 5 on it.
Cool. I'm interested in seeing it. I don't probably will not get out to see it before it leaves theaters, but it's definitely be on my list of stuff.
It's not really a theater movie, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah, biopics generally aren't, like,
yeah. I don't know. It's there's no action, I don't know. I thought it was really good. It would probably be in my top 10 of the year, and it's definitely worth checking out. Cool. I'm not saying rush to the theater to see it, but you should see it, you know. Definitely one of the better movies of the year.
All right. What was the other one you saw that wasn't a Scientology documentary?
Oh, the Entourage movie.
Oh, yes. I saw your comment on Facebook about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about. I don't know anything really about Entourage in general, so.
Oh, really? You never used to watch it?
No,
It's
I
probably
mean,
for the best.
that sleazy guy. He's on it, right? I'm trying to think of what his name is. The
Oh.
main guy.
Wait. Are you talking about
Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven? He's
Yeah.
like their agent
He's okay.
or whatever.
Yeah, and I know he was on that show. That was about it for what I know of it, though.
Wow. Well, I used to watch it, but I definitely fell off well before it ended. It was kind of fun when it first came out. It was like a peek inside a, behind the scenes of Hollywood of like, a young actor trying to, up and coming, and him and his
Right.
buddies having fun. Like, it was fun for a while, and it was a nice light 30-minute show. Like after you watch something really heavy like The Sopranos or 6 Feet Under or whatever the hell was airing when it first came out. But I definitely fell off. Like, I just kind of got tired of it, like there wasn't much substance there to begin with, and they went on and on with the series and did never nothing ever really went anywhere. It was always like, oh, he's trying to make this movie and these guys are fucking these chicks and whatever, dude. So anyways, the show ended in 2011. I couldn't tell you when I stopped watching it, but I felt like I didn't miss much coming into this movie. Like, I understood everything that was happening. That might be because there's not much happening. It really is barely a movie. Like, there's hardly a plot to it. Like, the main plot is that the hell, the star in it, like the main kid, like the main actor who's a star, like, and he's got all his friends with him. He is now directing his first movie, and they're going over budget. And they're trying to, he's trying to get approved for more money. And that's like the whole story of the movie, is like he needs more money to finish his movie. And that's it. That's like basically the story. And they have to like they have like these rich hillbillies played by what the hell? Billy Bob Thornton. He's like financing the movie. He's like one of the co-financers or whatever. And he sends his son out to like check out the movie and see if they should give him more money. And his son's played by Haley Joel Osment, who's probably the best part of this movie.
Okay.
And Haley Joel Osment just kind of plays like this real fucking idiot who like comes in and is fucking girls and this and that, and decides that like they should not give them more money for the movie unless they cut both the star, who's the director, and his brother out of the movie, because he has like a personal thing where he doesn't like him. That's like the whole story of the movie, and it really kind of goes nowhere. And then at the end, their agent, who is now the studio head, gets fired because he stands up for them for some shit. And then somehow, like, the movie comes out. Like, I must have blinked and missed like a story beat, but then like the movie came out, and everyone, it's like the happy ending. Like, it was just, it's not like there's nothing there. Even if you're like a huge diehard fan of this, I don't see the point of this. Like, all it is like, besides like that very thin plot line, it's just like catching up on the characters who are doing the same shit they used to do in the show. There's almost no jokes or there's no laughs in this movie. I didn't fucking laugh once. There might technically be some jokes, but there really ain't much there. It's just more kind of like humor and like cameos, like, oh, look, here's Tom Brady. Like, big fucking, there's lots of cameos, but they amount to nothing as well. And then there's just a couple subplots. Like, there's one guy, Turtle, he used to be overweight on the show, and now he's like really skinny, and he's trying to date Ronda
Okay.
Rousey. And yeah, and then there's like a plot where like his manager, who's also one of his friends, this guy E on the show, he's broke up with his pregnant girlfriend because he cheated on her, and he's just banging pussy left and right in this movie. And then the pregnant chick who like they've split is just finally like, I'll give you another chance. Like, that's that story arc. It's like, it's fucking dumb, dude. It's just, it is a terrible, terrible bro movie. Like, that I don't think even bros will get much out of. Like, it's just not, it's not funny. Like, it's not funny. There's no story and there's no point to it. you really didn't need to catch up with these guys because apparently not shit has happened. I don't know. They just, if they were gonna do this, they should have came up with something better in terms of the story, because there really is nothing there. It's a pile of shit. It's one of the worst movies I've seen all year. In case I didn't make it clear enough through my longer
Right.
synopsis, like it's a piece of shit.
Sounds fantastic. Maybe not even like worth it for fans of the show, so.
And it's not even like a so bad it could be entertaining, like so bad it's good thing. It's
Right.
just really bland and it's not funny. Like it's just, I don't know what the hell happened to that show. I remember thinking it was really funny at first. It's just kind of the same shit over and over, and some of the humor's kind of dated now. It's like, oh, great, you're rich and you could get lots of pussy. Good for you.
Right. But that was funny, like, 5 years ago,
Yeah, and maybe
now
for
not
like
so much.
a season or two. Like there wasn't a whole lot to explore here. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know, dude. It was. Ugh. It's like maybe watch it if it's on HBO, but. And you're a huge fan, but even then, I think people who are really huge fan, like I had one friend who was a really big fan of this movie, and he was all hyped up about it on Facebook. And after it came out, I didn't see him say a word about it. I have to imagine it's pretty like disappointing. Or if you're a big fan, you're just like, well, that was okay, I guess. Like nothing too special. Like it's like a mediocre episode of the show stretched out to. Like 100 minutes or so.
All right, well, that'll definitely be one that I'm gonna skip. So,
Yeah, if you never
yeah,
watched
I
this,
never watched the show at all, so I have no real reason to watch this at all.
yeah, I'll put it out there. If you have never seen the show, you have zero reason to watch this movie. Maybe watch a couple episodes of the first season or whatever, but there's not a whole lot to Entourage at all.
Right. Well, let's get into the one we've both seen. Let's talk some Scientologists.
Yeah, I saw someone tweeting about it, this movie, saying that it was terrifying and this and that. And I was like, well, I like documentaries. I have HBO. I haven't seen it, so I'll check it out. I thought it came out like really recently, but you're saying it came out
Yeah, it was like back in September.
March.
Not September, back in March. It's when it first debuted.
But yeah, this is on HBO, like on demand. I'm HBO Go, I'm sure, whatever. I'd say, like, if you like documentaries, this is a definite watch. It's a little long, little slow at points, but once it gets going, you're like if you buy into what it's saying, it's kind of really disturbing. Like, and I do tend to believe the testimony of the people in this movie. You want to give us a little like rundown of what it's about?
I mean, in general, it's just kind of a look at the Church of Scientology.
Which has kind of been shrouded in secret, I would think. Like, or at least, if not secret, like, I didn't feel like I was nearly as informed about the church.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It is kind of like a. It's is kind of like a secret society, though.
It's a fucking cult, dude.
It's a crazy cult. I've actually read up on Scientology outside of this movie.
And outside of the book that it was on, based
I
on.
had actually never read the book it was based on. I read a different book, which is equally terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of like really twisted stuff that goes on there. This actually doesn't quite go into as much detail either.
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of chronicles how the church kind of came about really quickly. Like, they don't really go too much into that. It's more detail on like the actual goings on of what's going on now.
Basically, since I would say like since what was it, the mid-80s or early-90s on, since this guy takes over the church,
David Miscavige. Since when L. Ron Hubbard died,
this guy just like takes a
yeah,
assumed power. It's fucking
he
amazing.
takes over power, and and he's the guy that's actually still in charge of the church.
Yeah.
He decides to go from L. Ron Hubbard's kind of plan to L. Ron Hubbard was like, he was kind of like a scam artist.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this whole thing is anyway.
Yeah.
But he definitely, Miscavige preys on the fact that he can get celebrities to be a part of it, and
Kind of amps up everything. Like there were
yeah.
things like that. L. Ron Hubbard had like laid the groundwork for like dealing with people who are,
Yes.
starting to not to believe and this and that. But like this guy takes it to a whole nother fucking level.
Oh, yeah, and it gets pretty dark and twisted.
It was really eye-opening to me because honestly, going into Scientology, I was like, it's a stupid made-up religion. I knew that L. Ron Hubbard like kind of came up with it. And I kind of knew that they had like this crazy belief of like a guy named Xenu, and like it was like a really sci-fi sounding story to the religion. That's all I knew, and I knew that like there were celebrities and stuff. Like I knew that Tom Cruise and I knew that John Travolta were
Yeah.
Scientologists, and I thought it was like this crazy rich person like bullshit religion. But I had no idea, like some of the like mind control. Crazy fucking shit that goes on, at least according to this documentary. But like I said, like the people in it are people who used to be very high-ranking like officials or whatever inside Scientology. So I yes, they could be disgruntled or whatever, but I kind of tend to believe what they say.
Right.
And there's one guy who's like, he was really high up there and he's like saying all these terrible things. And then they like show him like going outside his house, and there's people standing outside his house, like just harassing him, like threatening him and shit. I was like, holy shit, dude! Like this guy left, I don't know how many years ago, and there's people just standing outside his house, like intimidating him. Like that is insane, dude! Like none of this seems like it should be legal. Oh, that was another thing.
Well,
Like
a lot of it isn't. Like,
yeah, like. Well, the thing is, like, they operate in such secrecy, and
yeah.
I mean, it seems to me like if you ultimately say, "Hey, I want out of this religion," like, yes, you can get out, but you're so kind of brainwashed that like they get away with all sorts of crazy abuse to the people that are in it, who like even start to question it or whatever. Like, they just he like takes all his like top-ranking guys and like out of nowhere puts them in this little shithole in the middle of nowhere. As like punishment for God knows what, because he's getting paranoid. There's all sorts of things in it like that are pretty fucking disturbing. Like even how they get tax exempt status, I was like, holy shit! Like they basically like strong armed the government, like intimidated the government with like tons of lawsuits and this and that. And like that was like the main focus of their religion for I don't know how long, is to get tax exempt status so they could keep all their fucking money.
Yeah.
And just dude, like as it goes on and gets deeper into the things that they do to people, like they have a prison for people that are starting not to believe, and they like lock them up in there and make them scrub the floor with toothbrushes and all sorts of shit. I was like, dude, that can't be legal. Like, I mean, I guess because the people are doing it supposedly in their own
The,
will.
wait, they're, I mean, these are all members of the I believe they call it the Sea Org, which
Yeah.
is kind of like the inner circle. And yeah, and if you kind of like start doubting or whatever, they get really twisted. And David Miscavige seems like complete Looney Tune when it comes to this stuff, where he does have people like cleaning toilets with toothbrushes and living in trailer. Like these are rich, powerful people that like he is forcing to like live in trailers and filth and
Well, that's well. I don't. I wonder because some of these high-ranking people, like the people in the Sea Org, they said they were making $50 a week.
some of them, yes. Well, but they also have like actual careers outside of that. Like the Sea Org is
Yeah.
paying them that. Like, and you sign over all your money to the church, but they're given everything. Like, it's crazy that like you're gonna make all this money and we're gonna take it all and
There's also this whole bit about auditing sessions, which is like kind of like that's like what the religion is kind of based around, is
yeah.
you do like these weird kind of lie detector things, or
It's
I don't
not
gather.
necessarily a lie detector. It's they basically have you sit down and you know, just talk. It's basically a therapy session, right? But
But you're kind of hooked up to a thing, and
yeah,
there's like a needle moving, and who knows if what the fuck that does.
you're hooked up to like some crazy machine, and in that machine, like then you have the person who's interpreting everything, telling you like, oh, well, this means this, and it's all like about past lives and regression, and it's crazy.
Just a bunch of fucking mumbo jumbo. Yeah, and but the thing that's like great about it, like that's kind of like if you join Scientology, like that is something you do probably on a somewhat regular basis. It's like going to confession for Catholics or something. But they keep files on everything that you say, and you know the movie kind of asserts that they use that against, like they'll use it against like big stars like Travolta and Cruise. Because there was a period where Cruz didn't seem very active in the church, and then all of a sudden he came around big time.
Yeah, well, and I don't know, I don't remember how much of the movie gets into this, but like basically they broke up him and Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, it was, they go into that a lot in the movie. Like it was like a their mission, and they succeeded.
Yeah,
Like
because
it's,
she wasn't like on board with,
she wasn't on board with any of it, I don't
yeah,
think.
like she was kind of like going along with it because she was married to Tom Cruise, but.
Like she comes from, like her mom is like a psychologist, you know, so obviously her mom's like, dude, your fucking husband's involved in some crazy cult bullshit.
Right.
But they actively went about like splitting them up, and then like setting him up with another girl. Like they kind of groomed this other
Yep.
girl who was like a nobody, and then tossed her out immediately because God knows what, I forgot what. But like I don't know, man. Of all these things, like we're telling you, there's a lot more of it in the movie, and I was just like blown away that any of this is actually fucking real. But I, like I said, I tend to believe the people in here. They don't get anyone who's still active in Scientology, really. You know,
Well,
and
you
all the big
can't, like,
guys,
I mean,
yeah.
they're not gonna talk to you about it, so.
Like that Miscavige guy who he runs the church, he doesn't really do interviews, like, you know, like
Right.
he hides behind the curtain. Like I don't know, dude. That's, I'm disturbed by religion in general, but this fucking thing, it's not even a religion, dude. Like this is cult mind, like, you know, brainwashing shit. Like it's terrifying. It's like the fucking sacrament come to life.
Yeah. But on a more all-encompassing kind of platform,
And
it's
it,
everywhere.
because they're sort of legitimized, and like they are powerful. Like they have influence because of all the money that they have. You know what I mean? Which they're making by investing in, like, fucking, and like foreign properties and shit. Like nothing to do with the religion itself. They're doing real estate, and they're making fucking tons of money and
Yep.
not paying any taxes. It's fucking horrifying. But yeah, I think it's a really good documentary. Like I said, it is a little bit long, but once it gets going, you're just kind of like, holy shit, wow. Like it's just a constant barrage of like, I can't believe they do that. Like I had no idea going in. Like maybe if you know a little bit more, it won't be as exciting, but I didn't know any of it really.
It's interesting just to like hear the, you know, the testimonials and
Yeah, absolutely.
'cause I mean any of these kind of like fringy religions, they're interesting to begin with, like
Yeah.
just because they're so far outside the normal boundaries of what we all expect. So I find it very entertaining, like quite enjoyable to watch and take a look at, 'cause it's kind of nuts.
Yeah, it's super nuts. Like, and I kind of hope that one day, like, you know, I like Tom Cruise as an actor, but I kind of hope one day he kind of comes to his senses and speaks out against like what they're doing, like, because the shit they're doing is not right, if true. Like, it's just
Right.
none of it is right, and some of it is like very criminal. So, yeah, definitely worth checking out. I think it's a really good documentary. HBO is really good when it comes to documentaries.
Yeah,
HBO's
this
really
one's
good in
good.
general. They don't really fuck up a lot.
On occasion.
I'd say they're documentary films. I don't think I've seen one that I thought was
Oh, yeah. I
not
mean,
good.
it just in general, they make some weird choices sometimes. Not
Yeah.
necessarily with their documentaries, but
I'd say since The Sopranos, though, they always have at least one show going that is worth having HBO for. Even like
yeah.
True Detective season two, a lot of people thought was dog shit. Like, dude, it's better than 90% of TV out there, I'd say
It's
still.
entertaining at least.
Yeah. I liked it. I liked season two ultimately, but I know a lot of people didn't, so.
So I did not watch anything in the way of movies. I did I don't think we talked about Supergirl last week though. I watched the premiere of Supergirl, and that was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I mean it's Superman kind of.
But a girl.
Yeah, I mean she has like those powers, but she's younger and doesn't know how to use them, so it's a little more interesting. Like she's not the god that Superman is, so
I don't know anything about her really, so I don't know. There's a lot of those like superhero shows now on TV that
yeah,
I've never given a chance.
like Arrow and Flash and
Yeah. I've never given any of them a chance.
I mean this is a I believe it's a CBS show, so it's a big, it's a big production as opposed to, well, The Flash and Arrow definitely have some decent production values. This is really well done, like
Yeah.
just and it almost has to be. I mean, you're talking about like Arrow and Flash are they're a little bit different in the way they work because Arrow's a dude that, uses a bow and arrow, so and the Flash is just a guy that runs real fast, but Supergirl flies and she has super strength, and so
Yeah.
special effects are definitely a little bit different on that side. But I enjoyed it. Definitely found it worth watching. I'll be continuing watching it for a little bit.
What about Ash versus Evil Dead? You get to watch
I
that?
did not get to watch that. Did you see any of that?
No, I heard good things, and I think you can watch the pilot somehow. Because I forgot what. Do you know what channel it's on?
Was it Stars?
It's definitely one. Yeah, I want to say it's like Stars. It's one I don't have.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting fucking Stars to watch Ash
No,
versus
like
Evil
I
Dead.
think it's only a 6-episode run, so
Yeah.
it should be. I have a feeling like we'll see it on Netflix or something like that
Yeah,
by
yeah.
the end of, maybe not by the end of this year, but like sometime early next year it'll pop up there.
I will definitely watch it once it's out there. I mean, I know you can watch the pilot for free. At least I think I saw that somewhere.
I'll have to see if I can track that down.
But I heard it's good. I heard it's really fun, so that's good.
Yeah. So that's out there. I'm gonna try and see Spectre.
Yeah.
I do enjoy a James Bond movie, so I'm gonna try and see Spectre.
I will not.
No?
Not a James Bond guy, man.
Huh. Like not even the new ones, like the
I really like Casino Royale, but that was like a one-off thing for me. Like I do not know the series at all.
I think Casino Royale is probably the best of the Daniel Craig stuff.
It was good. I thought it was a really good, you don't really need to be a James Bond fan to really know
Yeah, I
him.
mean in some ways Casino Royale was like a reboot of the entire series. Like yeah, like each one kind of stands alone, but
Yeah.
although these Daniel Craig ones have kind of had a through line, and I guess this one Spectre wraps it all up, I guess. It doesn't sound like he's going to be Bond for much longer, so
Yeah, he's heard he doesn't want to do another one.
I believe he said he would rather slit his wrists than do another
Yeah.
James Bond movie. So that seems a little
Hey man, that made him a star. I didn't know who he was before that.
right. Oh, like you figure you get some of these guys, like Viggo Mortensen, like Lord of the Rings made him like a huge star, and he just hated like that kind of popularity and
Yeah, I don't think he ever really wanted to be a big star. He just wanted to be a good actor, like, you know.
I'm not sure, like, I mean, Daniel Craig is a really good actor outside of Bond, but yeah, I'm not sure if he is, like, you know, he's all into the fandom that comes with being such an iconic character.
Yeah, well, I guess not, since he's talking about slitting his wrists.
Right.
He has to do that.
And I mean, that's what, I guess one of the big things with that is that it's what everybody wants to talk to you about. Like, even when you're promoting, like, something that's not James Bond, like, they want to talk about James Bond, because you're James Bond, like, and I mean, I remember, like, that was kind of, like, Harrison Ford's problem with, you know, being Han Solo, was he didn't want to talk about Star Wars all the time, like,
it's like, I made that movie 20 years ago.
I've made hundreds of other movies, like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
So I'll try and see that. Maybe catch some stuff on Netflix, see if there's anything else up there.
I will have seen The Final Girls.
Yeah, I still have that. I need to sit down and watch that.
And probably Southpaw.
Yeah, I probably won't see Southpaw, but I will make an effort to see Final Girls so we can have a back and forth on that.
I think I'm going to up my DVDs to 2 at a time, just so I could get through more stuff.
All right.
And I don't have to sit on Entourage for like 2 weeks like I just did and finally go, all right, I guess.
Like, I hate this.
So I will try to see those two, hopefully. Possibly Dark Places as well. I'm going to have a lot of time to watch movies over the next couple days, so.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens, yeah.
All right. Well, watch up. We'll talk about them next week.
Movie dudes.
Do 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 do.